Okay, we want to welcome everyone to the Wayne County Bible Center on this October 17th, 2021. We're continuing our study in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is sharing with the disciples the signs of the end of time. Where he is sharing with them what will be going on during the 7 years of tribulation, the fate of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. We can now read into these things the rapture of the church as we have the complete revelation of the Word of God and see how God is going to deal with the church, with the Gentile nations, the 7 years of tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ, and then as eternity gets ushered in. And we've been looking in previous sermons in Matthew 24, and you can go back and pick them up on the website, at precursors of these world history events that are on the horizon. We've looked at the famines, we've looked at the pestilence or the plagues, and we've looked at COVID-19, the natural upheavals of the earthquakes and the floods and the fires, and as nature is groaning, Paul tells us, in birth pangs, ready to be rebirthed into the gloriousness of the coming of the Lord. But the foundation has to be laid for Satan to rise in his power this one last time. And so we read of these things in Matthew chapter 24. And in verse 5, Jesus says, "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." And so in previous weeks, we looked at the spirit of Antichrist and how he was even, this spirit was prevalent in the days of the first century church, as John tells us in his epistles. And he says in verse 6, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And we kind of tied this into the first 3.5 years of the 7 year tribulation that historically will follow the rapture of the church. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I confess these things to you. And Lord, I confess them out loud as you and I are alone. And Father, as I say today, I thank you that in confession there is a cleansing by your blood. And I pray, Lord Jesus, to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your spirit, filled with your spirit in a spirit of humility to serve the word of God to the folks that are listening. Father, let us all wash the feet of our brothers and sisters in Christ and esteem their needs higher than our own. And Father, may we be true ministers of the light, of the love and the purity of Jesus Christ as we love others in your name. And Father, I just pray for clarity of thought as we share these scriptures in a general way. And I pray, Father, that you will develop this message in a way that will bring us all greater understanding for your glory. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. So, Father, I know that as you indwell the hearts of many believers in this room and who listen on this website, Father, you will speak to them and they will take these verses into their hearts and take them in other directions throughout your scripture, and they will gain greater understanding on the times in which we live. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord wants us to have understanding for the times in which we live. And one reason I want to share this scripture or this sermon today is over the last 6 months or so, or over the last year or a few years, folks say many times, I just don't understand why things are going on the way they are. I mean, why would folks want this to happen or that to happen? And a lot of times people say it's almost like, you know, they're trying to destroy America, or things are trying to be destroyed, and we don't have any understanding. And so I want to share with you some scripture today that will hopefully allow you to gain some understanding and prepare yourself for things that may be coming that we may see in our lifetime. But in Matthew 24, verse 6, Jesus said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. And in verse 7, nation's going to rise against nation, and kingdom is going to rise against kingdom. Now, I'm going to take you to the prophecy of Daniel, and I'm going to show you some of these warring factions and some of these alliances. But I want to show you why I'm going to take you to the book of Daniel specifically today. And in Matthew 24, verse 21, Jesus says this, speaking about the final 3.5 years of the tribulation. He says this, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, keep that in your mind. A time of tribulation and trouble, such as never was since the world began, no, nor ever shall be. Now go to Daniel chapter 12, the book of Daniel, and go to chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Daniel is prophesying about the end time military alliances and wars and battles and things that will be going on that will bring Antichrist into power. But he says this in Daniel 12, 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. That means Michael is the archangel that looks out after the nation of Israel, battling in the second heaven the demons that come against the nation of Israel. All right? That's a description of Michael. He's the archangel that stands up for the children of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. Did you just hear this? There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, Israel, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So Jesus is quoting the prophecy of Daniel in Matthew 24. So, what does Daniel tell us about battles and kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation? And what is going to be the end result of all these wars and rumors of wars, military and national alliances that are going to rise and fall in the years to come? So, let me share with you in Daniel chapter 11. Now, Daniel's prophesying 600 B.C. to about 530 B.C. So, 5 centuries before the birth of Christ. In Daniel 11, verse 2, it says this, and now will I show thee the truth. Daniel interpreting and prophesying here. Behold, there shall stand yet three kings in Persia, modern day Iran, Iraq, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. And a mighty king shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. And I'm not going to go deep into this, but this is talking about the rule and the reign of Alexander the Great that was going to come in about 50 years. So Daniel's prophesying about Egypt, Syria, Persia, and all these kingdoms and alliances that are going to come together, and they're going to battle. And as we look back over history, this happened. Now go to Daniel 11, verse 21. And in verse 21, we're told about another leader that comes up, and it says, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." And we're going to have to look at this area of deceit or deception. This spirit that's going to rule and reign and is ruling and reigning now throughout the world. But anyway, verse 22, "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, shall be broken. Yea, also, he's going to be a false prince of a false covenant, and he's going to make league with him, and he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come and shall become strong," you know, with a small group of people. And if you go to verse 31, you see, "An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength." He's going to go into Jerusalem and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolation. Now, he's prophesying about a Syrian dictator, Antiochus Epiphanes. This is 167, 168 BC, who is a type of Antichrist who profaned the temple by sacrificing a pig, which is against Jewish dietary laws in the temple. And he's a type, he's the abomination of desolation of that time. So Daniel's prophesying all these alliances that'll rise and these rulers that'll come up. And then when you go to Daniel 11, verse 36, he fast forwards into the true Antichrist. In verse 35, "Some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And a king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished. For that it is determined shall be done." Now he starts prophesying about the true Antichrist that is going to come. Now he's not come yet. But as you read these parts of the scripture, you think of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and all these New Testament truths that are told us. So, for the Antichrist to come to power, he has to rise to power as a result of wars, conflicts, alliances, famines, diseases, economic upheaval, and general chaos throughout the world, where everything's in disarray, where there's lawlessness, riots in the streets, all these things going on, where people will say, "Man, come take over, you know, save us from all this chaos." And this person, under the control of the devil, is going to be placed in a state of authority that will eventually rule the world. So all this is the end game of what Jesus is speaking of in Matthew 24, and what we're seeing today are precursors, a foundation being laid so that these events can take place and so that three specific entities can come into power. And I want to share them with you as simply as I can. I'm trying to keep this message simple because as I read one scripture, I'll think of five others that'll take you down a path where I'm going to lose you. So go with me to Revelation chapter 13 and let me show you what the end game is going to be so that you can understand some of the things that are going on right now as you watch your 6 o'clock news. 6 o'clock, I watch Gunsmoke, but you may watch the news. And there was a one ruler there in Gunsmoke. His name was Matt Dillon. I love old Matt. You know, somebody give Matt some lip, you know what he'd do? Bam! Just backhands him. I mean, is that not right? Bam! Yeah, hey, David, he's our man. Patty doesn't want me to get too carried away and backhand somebody that might cut my behind, so she keeps me home. Now, three entities are the end game. Now, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 says this, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea." The sea represents the population of the entire world. Anytime in Revelation you see the sea, we're talking about the population of the entire world. And so, this entity, this beast, is going to rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his horns, and 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So two details we get. This entity, whether it's political, governmental, however you want to look at it, military, it's going to be the result of alliances coming together, military alliances coming together. And this is not scriptural totally, but let me just give you an idea. Let's say Iran, Iraq, and Syria come together. That would be, in Daniel's prophecy, 3 horns that come together. Or if Russia and China and North Korea come together, they would be represented as 3 horns that come together, or 7 horns come together. And out of that alliance comes this great and powerful military or governmental ruler. And then the second aspect of it, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is going to be an anti-God, anti-Christian entity. So it's against everything you believe and stand for and know to be true. Now, go with me to verse 4. "And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto this beast. And they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him?" So, there's military. All right, there's military. This is going to be a superpower. You know, right now we're considered a superpower. China would be considered a superpower. Back in the day, 70s and 80s, when my dad, who's gone home to be with Jesus, worked in nuclear subs, Russia was the superpower. And Russia had their subs off our East Coast, and we knew it, and other folks knew it, and we had our subs in the Black Sea and in the Adriatic, and all this cat and mouse went on where one button could be pushed and half the United States would be gone, or Moscow could be wiped out, and both sides knew it. Both sides knew it. And today we have North Korea, which could be considered a superpower. But this superpower, look at what it says. Who? No one can make war and stand against this superpower. Now, when you come down in verse 6, he opens his mouth to blaspheme God. But verse 8 is what I want you to grab all up. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, and the Lamb of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So in verse 4, nobody can make war with him. And in verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And he speaks a name of blasphemy. So if it's everybody in earth is under his authority and has to bow down to him, you're seeing a one world, satanic, anti-God government and military power. So it's going to be a one world government. You can't have individual nations and individual leaders if there's going to be a one world government. Now, you can have folks that are overseers of those nations, but there can't be one in particular nation that has the power to stand against this one world government. So if the United States is the largest and greatest superpower that exists today, something's going to have to be done to the United States of America so that this can come about. So I want you to understand that. Now, notice what it goes on to say. In verse 11, it says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. So this is a second one. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of the men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, what I want you to understand here is when you hear the word heaven, he's raining fire down from heaven. Well, who did that? Elijah did that. And then he's doing miracles. Where who did miracles? Well, the prophets, many of them did miracles. Jesus did miracles. So this is a religious entity. And this second beast is a one world religion that people are going to be deceived into, and they're going to be forced to worship, and there's going to be a leader of this religion. So you're going to have a one world government and a one world religion. And so all these things that are going on today, the foundation's got to be laid so this can eventually happen. Now, let me show you the third entity in Revelation 13, verse 15. And he had, the second beast, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So you're not going to have free will to reject this religion. If you reject it, you're going to be killed. Now, again, we're not going to be here. All right, we're going to be raptured out of here, Patsy. Praise God. And I feel sorry for the people that don't teach the truth about this because it'll manifest great fear. But we're going to be gone. God has not appointed us to this wrath. Those 7 years are going to be the judgment and wrath of God upon the sins of the world. And it's going to be a purging for the nation of Israel. And then all Israel shall be saved. And there are many components to what goes on in these 7 years. Not teaching that today. We may get into it in the weeks ahead. I don't know. But notice what happens. And he caught verse 16, he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And no man can buy or sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And again, I'm not going into details right now, but I want you to grab buy and sell. So when you talk about buy and sell, you're talking about the economy. The economy. Now, notice what it says. Buy and sell. But back up to verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It's everybody on the face of the earth, Cameron. So it's a one world economy. You're going to have a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economy. So for all these things to happen, you can't have individual nations existing independent from one another. You need to create an interdependency so that the transition will be smooth into this hellish existence that is going to occur during those 7 years of tribulation. Now, let me just go back to Revelation 13, verse 1. And I told you from the beginning, every time there's a truth, there's a lie. You know, if there's a God, there's got to be Satan. If there's heaven, there's got to be hell. So I want you to understand the desire of Satan in all of this. And it was his same desire when he got kicked out of heaven. He wanted to elevate himself above God, but what did he really? He didn't just want that. He wanted to be worshipped. Okay? So look at Revelation 13, 1. And I stood and I saw the beast come out of the sea. And in verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power, and they worshiped the beast. And go to verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. And it was given unto him power to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over, look there, all kindreds, all tongues, all nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now this is going to happen. But I want you to go to the book of Zechariah. Coach Sisk had you in the book of Zechariah a few weeks ago. Patty and I are listening to it, and she goes, I got to tell Coach Sisk, when you're out, he doesn't need to use those books our people can't find. She said, David got them people going to Zechariah, Leo. But we did notice on the tape, he said, I'll wait for you to get there. So I played some songs while he was waiting for you guys. But I want you to notice, there's always going to be an opposite, all right? The devil is opposite. So after the 7 years of tribulation, when the Lord sets up the millennial reign, look at what it says, Zechariah 14, verse 16, it says this, and it came to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. Now, when's that going to happen, Brother Leo? That's at the end of the 7 years when all the nations go against the nation of Israel, and Jesus comes back on the white horse, and we're riding with him. We're riding with him. I'm really going to be riding, Lehman. We're riding with him. And he saves Israel out of all the attacks that are coming on him. And all Israel's going to be saved. And look what he says. Shall even go up. All the nations shall go up against Jerusalem from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Verse 17, who will not come up of all the families of all the earth unto Jerusalem? I pray every day, Lord Jesus, I am so excited for the day when you're going to rule the whole world from Jerusalem, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why I fight the battle, you fight the battle. Certainly, this earth's going to go through 7 years where it's going to appear that Satan's going to do this and Satan's going to do that. And we're living in an age right now where it appears Satan's doing this and Satan's doing that. But I'm telling the devil and all the demons and everybody else, I know how the story ends. And I am on the winning side no matter what. And you've got this situation where Satan is going to force the whole world to worship him. But that might be on Friday, but Sunday is coming. And the whole world's going to bow before Jesus Christ. And everybody's going to say, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I always say, Lord, I choose to say it today. I'm going to say it right now. And I'm going to praise your holy name for it. So understand, you're going to have Christ, Antichrist, good, evil, light, darkness, truth, lies, death, life. You're always going to have the opposite. And you've got to be able to discern what's of God and what's of the devil. And so as we're watching all these events unfold, on the 6 o'clock news, we are called to have that understanding. And the scriptures give us that understanding. So, how do you get to the end plan of a one world satanic government? You know, how's that going to be carried out? Well, the best thing to do, let's look at the satanic plan of a one world government, the very first one that occurred in Genesis. So, go with me to Genesis chapter 11, and let me show you the first one world government. What were the components of it? What was the devil thinking? And how was it made to work? And what did God do? Why did He do it? And why are things as they are now? Genesis 11, verse 1. This is following the flood, generations after the flood. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, in defiance of Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, we're not going to keep going and scatter and replenish the earth. We're all going to stay right here. In defiance of God's command to scatter out and replenish the earth. That's Genesis 9, 1. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now, the actual Hebrew there is that the top of the tower reaches into the heavens. It wasn't that they were trying to climb up into the third heaven on works, which is a pretty good analogy, but it was to be seen from all over. It was going to be a place of worship and idolatry, a false religion. And so they were going to build this tower. And another component, let us make a name for ourselves, so that we're not scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So man making a name for man is called humanism. All right? Secular humanism. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're not going to make a name for God. We're not going to glorify God. We're going to make a name for ourselves. And one of the huge things that's concerned me throughout the pandemic, and I'm not talking about clergymen or theologians, but we've not had one world leader, one president, one congressman, one governor, one senator say, hey, let's stop and have a day of prayer for God to get us through this pandemic. Amen. We've not heard any of that. All we've heard of, oh, we're getting this new treatment. We've got this new shot. We're doing this. We're looking at the science. We're looking at the data. Everything horizontal, 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 horizontal. I would love to see somebody come out in one press conference, get out on their knees, and look to God. I'm not saying God can't use all these things. Certainly He can. But you cannot replace God with science. You cannot replace divine power with human power. And as a world, we have certainly done this. Every crisis, going back to the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War II, World War I, we have had presidents that have called for national days of prayer. This country was founded by God-fearing men who believed in the divine authority and power of God to intercede and help and bless nations. And that's what we've got. There's got to be a return to that. There's got to be a return to that. So they're not making a name for God. They're making a name for themselves. Total disregard for the glory of God's name. Now this is about 3500 B.C. All right, 3,500 B.C. So we're going back, about 5, 6,000 years here. I'm sorry, 5,000. Now, lest we be scattered, again, I already told you, that's in defiance of God's command in Genesis 9:1. So no obedience unto God. And in verse 6, the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they will begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Nothing shall be restrained from them in this one world culture, one world government, one world society. So what's he saying there? There's going to be absolute power, which will result in absolute corruption. And we see that in the world today where nothing is restrained from man. Man thinks he can do the work of God. Man thinks he can create life. Man thinks he can destroy life in the womb. Man thinks he can do all these things that should be in the hands of God. And so he's elevated himself. And nothing is restrained. Man thinks he can solve his own problems. My friend, I want you to understand something. I'm just one little individual in one little rural county in the state of Tennessee. And I know I'm no different than the President of the United States or the Queen of England. And the one thing that we three all have in common is this: I am not capable of solving my own problems. I need the help of God. And I need the wisdom of God, and I need the power of God. But we have people in positions of authority and in positions of leadership in the United States and throughout the world, and they are not akin to my thinking. They believe that they have the answers. And nothing is restrained from them in power, in influence, in finances. And so we see what was going on there. Verse 7, Jesus says, "Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." Now, I think this is powerful. I think it's comical. Can you imagine when that happened? I mean, did it happen at night? You know, while they were sleeping? And then they woke up and nobody could understand each other? I bet they all thought everybody else was crazy. I bet people were fighting, Melissa. I bet they were fighting at breakfast because they thought somebody was making fun of them, or, you know, "Why are you acting this way?" And I'd say to Jennifer, "Why are you acting this way?" And she wouldn't understand me, and I didn't understand what she was saying that made me say, "Why are you acting this way?" So you better believe it was Babel. It was a state of confusion. And so the ones that understood each other, they ended up in a group. And the other ones that understood each other, they ended up in a group. And the other ones that understood each other, they ended up in a group. Kind of like we got now. We got folks from Michigan that say, "Cow." Pat, "How are you pointing at Kathy?" My Michiganers are accusing each other. Patty goes, "I love to hear Jennifer say, 'Cow.'" You know, and then we got folks from the Carolinas that say, cow, you know. None of us can understand each other in the United States. But anyway, so look at what the Lord says. Let us, and so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they didn't build the city. So what happened at that point? At that point, God established the nations. Hold on to that. God established national identities, national languages, created by God. Created by God. When the founding fathers came over here on a mission to start this nation, they felt it was a divine appointment by God to establish this nation. And from a biblical standpoint, they were correct. So, national identity, national languages, right there in Genesis 11, are established by God. Now, go to Acts 17. Look what Paul says about it. As we see, the foundation is being laid. What is going to raise up? What must be stopped and discontinued? As Paul speaking in Athens, he gives even greater detail to this. In Acts 17, verse 26, Jesus says this, "He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth." The one blood goes back to what? The lineage of Noah and his three sons following the flood. "He hath made of one blood," look at what he says, you know, so we're all brothers in that sense, "but God, hath made all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth." So God has created and appointed all these different nations, and he hath determined the times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitations. Boundaries and borders are of God. He's determined them. So if you want to destroy the border, you're not of God. If you don't want to honor the border, that's not of God. I'm not saying these people are inherently evil. I'm not saying they're demonically possessed. I believe there are those that are inherently evil and demonically possessed that are pulling strings in certain situations. And I believe there are others that are ignorant puppets that are being pulled from here or there. And I believe there are others that are being deceived, because it sounds good to say, let's just love everybody and let everybody come in. Let's feed everybody and clothe everybody and give everybody free health care and free college and nobody's got to work and, you know, blah, 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 blah. It sounds good, but it's deception. So look at what he says. He has established their boundaries. Why? Verse 27. "So that they would seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." So, what is the purpose of the separation of nations? It is to weaken the devices of men so that they will seek and depend on God. Nation after nation after nation is to be in a state where they will seek, acknowledge, and depend on God. So for Satan to come to power, the nations have to be weakened to a point where they will align. Canada, United States, Mexico, align into districts or areas where they can be brought together under a one world empire or a one world rule. So, and I'm not saying these organizations are evil. I just want you to understand. When you hear Global Citizen, if you're younger than I am, I never heard Global Citizen once in my life. I never heard Global Citizen. Never heard that phrase. A month ago, ABC, Disney, oh man, that was the big thing. They promoted this concert for the world where everybody's a global citizen. I want you to under big tech, big business, big government, big pharma. Yeah, all this is at work. Yeah, George Soros, Bill Gates, you know, oh, you're going to get shut off the internet for misinformation and hate speech tomorrow. All these cats are in on this thing. Now, I want you to understand, maybe they know what they're doing, maybe they don't know what they're doing, but it's all part of this global movement. International Monetary Fund, Bitcoin, one currency. Oh my goodness. So we got to save the entire planet, you know. The United Nations, the World Health Organization, all these things. I'm not saying they're bad, but they're part of the foundation that has been laid that will usher in a one world global, eventually global anti-God ruling government. So when you watch the news and you say, how in the world do we let 400,000 people cross the border? We don't care if they've had shots. We don't care if they've got COVID. We don't care anything about them. And then at night, the United States government is going to fly them into Minneapolis and Atlanta and New York and Detroit and turn them loose here. And we find out last week how many hundreds have been brought into Tennessee. And I hope they're all good people. And God forbid these people need a chance and et cetera, et cetera. I understand that. But if there's no law at the border, you know, now I'm getting into the man of lawlessness, which is another aspect of Antichrist. But what you've got to understand, you know, I'm not saying that we throw all these people out in the street, but you got to properly vet people and you've got to have some kind of order and not chaos. But the devil is at the source of chaos. And you say, why in the world is all this allowed to be? Because there are powers that be, domestic powers that be, that know the United States has got to be weakened. And they get voted in. They're being voted in Congress, in the executive branch, in governorships, all over America. And whether they know what they're doing or not, I'm telling you what the end result's going to be biblically. You know, I'm not here to tell you who's the devil and who's not and who's this. And I'm just telling you the end result. And as you watch the news, you can understand why. Why this is happening. No national language. We can't have a national language. English can't be declared the national language. You discriminate against the Spanish people. So they're going to tell you no national language, no national identity, no patriotism, no respect for the flag, no America first, no protection of the borders, no pride in our history, because you got to tear it down. You've got to tear it down. And how do you do it? Well, you assimilate or acclimate, or you begin in kindergarten teaching theories that says America is bad. America was founded on bad principles. America was founded on slavery. I want you to understand something. There is not a race on the face of the earth that has never been enslaved. There's not a race in the history of the world that has never been enslaved. The Irish have been enslaved. The Germanic tribes were enslaved. The French were enslaved. Oh goodness, I'm drawing a blank, but I know tons more. You know, we go back to the nation of Israel. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. The Syrians enslaved the Egyptians. The Babylonians enslaved everybody. These people act as if America's the only country that ever owned slaves. And you know why they act like that? Because they're not taught history. People don't understand history. They don't know history. And so we're going to keep dumbing down and dumbing down and dumbing down generation after generation after generation. And so what we've got to do is fight for what's right, or stand up for what's right. No nation is perfect. But this nation has been so blessed by God. I heard, Alan, he's in Florida now. He's a senator, African-American senator. He's in the Marines. Alan West. He gave the demographics about a year ago. We are 77% white in America, 13% black, and then the rest is Hispanic, Oriental, etc. And when these people say what a failure we are at race relations, you know, all the African nations, they are 95% black and then 5% anything else. All the European nations, they're 95% white, 5% others. The Latin American nations, they're 95% Latino. China, 95% Oriental. There's not another nation in the world that's got the racial demographics we do. So when they're saying we're failing, who are they comparing us to? It's absurdity. And it's lies. And that's what's being poured down the throats of your teenagers and your children. This country has blessed more people of all races exponentially more than any country in the world. And has saved people of all races exponentially more when their freedoms were being threatened than anywhere in the world. And that's the truth. And so we live amidst this great deception. So, I didn't want to just give you those facts today that the foundations are being laid for a one world government, one world religion, and one world economy. I want to tell you, so what are we to do? So what are we to do? And I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it in closing. I want you to go, and Ben forgave me this about a month ago. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And now I won't be able to do it. I can't imitate Benford as well as I used to, but he came up to me several weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and he goes, "Man, we're living in perilous times." And so I started studying that passage of Scripture. And I've got details on it. I'm not going to be able to give it to you today, but we'll look at it. But anyway, it says this, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And what does that mean? That means it's pretty dangerous to be a Christian. That means it's pretty dangerous to stand up for God. That means it's pretty dangerous to say, you know, certain things today, or you lose your job or whatever else. Yep. But look at what he says. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent." You know what incontinent means? It means that you can't have educated debate with anyone anymore. It means like if someone was surrendering, You don't come to terms of surrender. It's a Greek word that literally means take no prisoners. It means, Melissa, you either agree with me or you're out of here. Is that not how it is today? I mean, you either agree with a point of view or these people are going to have nothing to do with you. I mean, we got families today can't even have Thanksgiving dinner together. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, they're going to jump on each other's throats like a pit bull over this issue or that issue or this issue. It's a sign of the end of times. It's a sign of the end of times. Now, and then it says traitors. There are times I see things done in our government and I'll say that's an act of treason, don't I? I'll say that's treason. That's treason. That's against a federal law. We had a president, a guy running for president, and he's elected in Georgia with Stacey Abrams last fall before the election. He goes, you vote for me, I'll send you a check. You'll get a check. Yeah. At a meeting in Atlanta, I told Patty, I said, that's illegal. You can't tell a group of people if they vote for you, you'll send them a check. That was his words. YouTube it. Nobody covered it. Nobody covered it. Then sure enough, in February, I got a check. I'm serious. I'm saying, I go to Matt, I said, Patty, and we'd already gotten a check previously. I said, what are we going to do with this check? I said, I feel bad about this check. It was March. So I put the whole thing on Duke by 15 in the Final Four. I'm teasing. Said it's an ill-gotten gain. I'm going to use it as an ill-gotten gain. I'm teasing. I did not do that. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then, this is huge, that's the culture, and part of the culture is a religion having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So we have religions that have rituals, and they sing the hymns, and they wear the robes, and they do the sacrament, but the power of God's not moving within the American church. So what do we do? Verse 12. And then he says this. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. When? Verse 1. In the last days. In the last days. If you want to live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll be persecuted. Knowledge turned backwards in the street. But then he says this. Verse 14. What are we to do? We're to continue in the things which we have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom we have learned them. And he's talking to Timothy specifically. From a child, your grandmama and your mama taught you the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now listen. And is profitable for doctrine, truth, morality, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and guidance in righteousness. Now, I want you to understand something, and I said this before. This is not your father's church. This is not your father's religion. This is not your father's America. Now more than ever, children of God need to be serious about their walk with Jesus Christ, about their time alone in the Word of God, about the development of their communion and fellowship with the Lord. Because if you don't have discernment from God, counsel from God, wisdom from the Holy Spirit, you are presented with dilemmas and choices and tribulations and trials that did not exist when I was born. You You can't even let your children watch television without your supervision and without the wisdom of God. That's how corrupt the culture has become. And so he is saying, feed on all the scripture which is given by inspiration of God. Verse 17, that the man or woman of God may be complete. That word complete and that word perfect there, it means to be complete and equipped, but it really means to be ready and authorized to meet the challenges of the day. So that you can be up to the challenge, up to the attacks, up to the deceit, up to the foundations that are being laid. Never before have school teachers and doctors and businessmen, etc., you people have ministries today that are of extreme importance. Because if the Christian teacher and the Christian businessman and the Christian nurse and all of the Christian farmer, if you don't take a stand for the Lord, it's all going to fall apart. As it already is in many ways. But I want you to understand something. Look what he says. That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good works. So what are we to do? We're to continue to do good. We're going to continue to serve others. We're to continue to see people brought to Jesus Christ. Because you know what the devil wants? The devil wants you to take the attitude, well, you know, even people that know the Word of God, well, all these things are going to have to come to pass. I'm just going to sit here and wait for God to rapture me out of here. No, we've got to fight the good fight. Look at what he says in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then if you go to 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're in verse 2, it says that we are to be commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God wants to use you for two things. There are people in your orbit, in your concentric circle, that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God wants to use you to bring them into the kingdom. And then there are other folks that are saved. God wants to use you to encourage them to grow in the Spirit. And on individual level, these are the things we're to do. And then on a cultural level, we're the ones that take a stand for biblical morality, for the name of Jesus Christ, and for the ways of God. And so we fight. I'm going to tell you something, and I've said this from the pulpit before. I'm excited about being part of this generation. I praise God that I and you have been chosen to live in these days. And you know what a lot of our people will say? Boy, it was a sure lot easier being a Christian in the 50s. Well, yeah, it was. There was sure a lot more morality in this country in the 40s. And yeah, well, it was. But God's not going to let us live in a generation where He's not going to equip us to live victoriously in the generation in which we're living. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be able to be slack about it. You know, it's not going to be, you know, like it was. When I came in the ministry, I never thought things were going to look like this. 37 years, you know, 40 years, you know, you got 40 years, 70 years, and 120 years. Three different year frames that have been called generations in the Word of God. And 40, we're coming up on 40 years since I went into the ministry, which is hard to believe. You know, Betty, I really contemplated this. You know, 2 years ago, I turned 60 in March. This past March, I turned 59. And it feels good. This coming year, I turn 58. I was thinking about you, Jared. There's coming a time we're going to be the same age. But you know, we're coming up on 40 years. I'm coming up on 40 years in the ministry, what the Bible could call a generation. And the issues that are going on today, I would have never dreamed in a million years. But I know my God is victorious. And He equips us to be victorious. So as you look at these things that are transpiring on the evening news, or you're hearing these catchwords that come out of the mouths of leaders here and throughout the world, understand the big plan. You know, it's not for me to say this one's of the devil and that one's of the devil. It's not for me to say that, but I can certainly say somebody or something is plugging them into this plan that the book of Revelation, that the prophecy of Daniel, that Isaiah, Jeremiah lay out clearly so that you can have understanding, and pray that we will one day have godly leaders who have an understanding of the Word of God. That's the answer. And you say, well, brother, they'll never let anybody like that. Well, if God wants somebody to be raised up like that, there's nothing they can do to stop it. But God's people need to pray for it. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to close this out with a word of prayer today. Father, we just thank You that we have the power and the faithfulness and the truth of the Word of God. Father, this word, Your word, is an anchor to our souls and our hearts. And Father, we praise Your holy name, that victory is only in the name of Jesus. And You have conquered all principalities, all powers, all dominions, only exists under Your permission. And Father, Your plan is perfect. Even the use of those whose hearts have hardened from the days of Pharaoh even until now, Your plan is perfect. Thank You, Lord, that we have been chosen to live here in this place at this time, to serve You and glorify You, to take a stand for the One who died on a cross for us, to commit our lives to the One who gave His life. And Father, we thank You and we praise You for all You do for us every moment. Lord Jesus, bless these that are in this building listening. Bless those that will listen on this website. Let us let our light, wherever we are, so shine before men in good works and service that they will only glorify You. I pray for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that You are King of kings and Lord of lords. We say it now because we know it to be true. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.